end, but near the end, verse 39, go all the way down there. I'm going to go into chapter 11 as well. And, you know, we're only 2 weeks away from Easter. 2 weeks away from Easter. And so, I'll tell you about that. And, you know, my thought was this time, you know, I've been pastoring 29 years. That's 29 Easter Sundays. I don't think I've ever missed an Easter Sunday. I was sick to death one time, and I still preach. And you know, you're always trying to look at something different. And this year, I got to thinking about this thought. What was Jesus doing 2 weeks, two Sundays before Easter? What was he doing? And so I kind of looked through the Bible to see. Anyway, let's look at this right here. In verse 39, leading us up to chapter 11, to a familiar verse, the Bible says, "Therefore sought again to take him." They sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, talking about Jesus, "and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John had first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with the hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus, and when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And after that he saith unto his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Then said that his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." Heavenly Father, thank you again for our fellowship, our singing, and the testimonies that we heard here from ladies. And ladies all over the area and up and down the East Coast no doubt have testimonies today at their churches from what took place. And I pray today that when it's all said and done, if we don't have a testimony, Lord, we'll have one at the end of this day, a testimony of you and what you've done in our life. My prayer is always where our hearts will be opened, our minds, and then there might be one here or more that's lost. I pray for their salvation today. Lord, we know you're in the saving business still. We're not here just for no purpose whatsoever, but we want to worship you, Lord. We want to give you honor and praise, Lord, and we want to see you work a work here today. I pray we're aware of your presence here in this service, this meeting, and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I titled this message 2 weeks, like I said, because I was just thinking about 2 weeks ahead of the crucifixion. And, you know, Jesus had been, I kind of looked back, I had to kind of go through the Bible. I looked at some accounts, what was going on. And Jesus had been in Jerusalem before this. He had been teaching, and he did some healing, and he healed a man that was born blind. You all know that story. This guy was born blind, and they questioned Jesus, and they questioned his parents, or the Pharisees talked about it and said, well, they asked Jesus, they said, who sinned that this man was born blind, his parents or him? And Jesus said, neither one. Not that neither one had never sinned, but that wasn't the reason that the man had been born blind. And Jesus healed him of his blindness. I'll have something to say about that. It's kind of ironic that they wanted to kill him after that. But he taught on the Good Shepherd. He talked about the fact that his sheep know his voice, and they hear his voice, and that he knows them and they know him. And he talked about that. And then he also affirmed his deity during that time there as well. But then we got, and after he had healed that blind man, and we started up in verse 39, It said, therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. I mean, man, they healing somebody caused them to, have a desire to kill him. Jesus, they wanted to kill him. And so he escaped out of their hand. And he went on, went on down there, and he went again beyond Jordan into the place where John first baptized, and there he abode. So he went there to that place about 25 miles from Jerusalem, it tells us that. And then we see in our text that he heard about Lazarus, that his sisters had sent a messenger to him where he was at, beyond Jordan, and said that Lazarus was sick. And so he came. He finally stayed a couple days, but he came to Bethany, which is just about 2 miles from Jerusalem. So we see he's gone from 25 miles. He left Jerusalem, went 25 miles away. Then he came back to Bethany, which is only 2 miles away. Get it now, he ain't driving a car. He probably was walking, all the time. 2 miles, about that. And then after he had raised Lazarus from the dead, and I didn't read all that far down in there, but I'll hit on that a little bit. The Pharisees and scribes, they took counsel again after he raised a man from the dead that they wanted to kill him again. And so then the Bible tells us that he went to Ephraim, which is about 12 to 16 miles away from Jerusalem. So I'm trying to figure out what he did the 2 weeks where he was at about 2 weeks before that. And so we know that he had already raised Lazarus from the dead. He went 12 to 16 miles away. And then the text will go on and tell us later on in the next chapter, I think, that 6 days before the Passover, he came back to Bethany where Lazarus had been raised. He came back to Bethany. That was all the movement that took place in the sequence of events leading up to, and I'm really looking to when he set his face at some point in time that he was going back to Jerusalem because he was going to the cross. So if we put ourselves in that timeline now, we're 2 weeks away from celebrating Easter. Let's just carry your mind back to 2 weeks prior to this. Put yourself in Jesus' shoes, if you are somebody's shoes that was around that time. It's 2 weeks before the crucifixion, 2 weeks and the resurrection that would take place. It's 2 weeks before that. This is what's going on in Jesus' life. This is what's going on in the life. Some of his disciples were traveling around with him back and forth. And so there's some lessons there. I've got 3 points. I saw some other lessons that'll fall into the place. Some things we can look at. I think we can learn from them. Some of the things I have to speculate on, we don't know for sure. I can't be dogmatic, but I think I can be pretty close with this. The very first point that we have, we see reflection. I called it reflection. 39 through 40, it said, and 40 said, Jesus went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John first baptized, and there he abode. And I wondered about that. This is where John had baptized Jesus way back at the beginning of his ministry, three and a half years before that. The Jews called it this place Bethany beyond Jordan. It's not the same Bethany where it's 2 miles from Jerusalem where Lazarus lived. It's another one. It was another town named Bethany, but they called it Bethany beyond Jordan. So they knew the difference. So we know it was 25 miles away, a little bit farther away. It was kind of near the wilderness. We know after Jesus' baptism that he went into the wilderness. The Arabic name for that place is Al-Maqdis. Al-Maqdis. And that Arabic name means immersion. Isn't that a trip? Immersion, which is what baptism means. Baptism means the same thing, immersion. That's why we baptize. Immersion means underwater. That's why we don't sprinkle. That's why we don't pour. It's underwater. Pictures of death, the burial, and the resurrection. Only immersion is going to picture that in a right way. And so but I just thought, well, that's kind of nothing. Listen, it's not ironic. It's not an accident. It was called immersion. That's where he was baptized. God knew it all along the way, right? He knew what was going to happen. But I started thinking about this, and this is just where I'm speculating a little bit. Jesus could have went anywhere. He could have went to Ephraim at that time, or he could have went somewhere else. But he went to this particular place where John baptized him. And I wondered, you know, maybe that he was just a time to reflect. He'd had his 3.5 years of ministry as a man. That was really when, and he did a few things when he was younger, but very young. And then we didn't know nothing about Jesus' life until really John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And I think he was going, just to me, I thought about it as a man, because Jesus walked as a man. He was God in the flesh, but he walked as a man. And he thought as a man. Everything that we feel, pain, sorrow, suffering, thirst, hunger, all those things, understood that, felt those same things. And so I just think, that maybe it was a time of reflection where he thought, okay, he knew his time was coming. He was about to go to Jerusalem. I mean, the whole time when he came to earth, he knew he was going to the cross. He knew that. But he had 3.5 years and he ministered to people on the earth. But now he's getting ready. When he comes back to Bethany that next time, not Lazarus' time, but after he went back to Ephraim, when he comes back to Bethany where Lazarus was, he is coming to Jerusalem. He's going to go to Bethany. He's going to go to Jericho and Jerusalem on the same day. And he's going to be coming to Jerusalem to go to the cross. He knew that's what he was about to do. And I believe he sat around there and he thought about his early ministry. He thought about all the things that God the Father had done when he was baptized there in that water. When the Bible says that the Spirit came down like a dove and descended down upon him. And after his baptism, that he was carried by the Spirit out into the wilderness. And when he got out in the wilderness, he was tempted of the devil. He was out there after 40 days of fasting, he was tempted by the devil. And he said, "It's written, it's written." You know, he started thinking about those things. And everything that had taken place, the people that he talked to, and I think the earthly ministry that he had, fulfilling the purpose, always waiting on the Father's timing, which we can see in our text today right there. And I thought, well, you know what? That's a good lesson for us. I'm going to tell you why, because we're human too. And this is what happens to us. You know how we are? We kind of get in a rut. We start taking things for granted. It's just in our human nature. We can't help it. When something's new, the new excitement, whatever it is, and then as time goes on, the shiny wears off. If you ever bought a new car, y'all happy as all get out, man, don't let a gnat get on it. And now, it looks like it's been through a mud bog. And because the newness wears off. It's just the way we are. But I thought, here's a lesson for us, man, that we get ready. We're approaching Easter. What a time to sit down and think about when you first got saved. Amen. Think about when you first got saved and that thing was new, man, and you got baptized. I remember Daryl one time. You told me one time. Daryl told this story. I probably told it one other time. He said, man, he come up to me one day at church. He said, I was looking in my safe and I found a picture of when I got baptized. And he said, I started looking at that and thinking back. It was all new then, wasn't it, brother? Huh? It was a new thing. Man, I'm telling you what, you start thinking about, man, when you got saved and when it was all new, man, it was exciting. You was ready to go to church, man. You wanted to be at everything that was going on. I mean, man, it was an exciting time. And I tell you what, we ought to take ourselves back, because we don't want that to become old. We don't want that to become stale. It's just like the news. We know that Jesus rose from the dead. But I'm going to tell you what, if he rose from the dead yesterday, what would we be yapping about, man? You couldn't shut us up. We'd done blown every phone up from here to China, man. We'd have been telling, man, this guy raised from the dead. We'd have told everybody he is just as real today as it was then. Huh? But see, we're just used to it. We done got used to it. We're jaded, man. It's not new. Ho, hum, hum, going to church, maybe. Maybe if nothing comes up, I'm gonna go. I'm not excited. And you can't talk to your neighbors about the Lord. You can't get anybody to come with you because, man, they don't see no excitement in your life. Man, I think back when I got saved. I'll never forget. When I got saved, my wife and I, she said she wanted to start going back to church. She'd been saved early in life, and we hadn't been in church, man, away from God. Always believing in God. But when I got saved, we went to these people came and visited us from an independent Baptist church, of course. And either them or Jehovah's Witnesses. I was on a teeter-totter. The Witnesses came after me too, right? But no, I knew not to go that way. But anyway, I went she said, Sunday, you want to go to church? I said, yes. She said, where do you want to go? I said, well, that church visited us. Let's go to that church. And we went over, and then we went, and they started coming to visit me 3 Thursday nights in a row. And on the third Thursday night, Wayne Woodard, the pastor's son, see, he wanted an easy visit. He knew I'd let him in. So he said, hey, I'm going to come visit you on Thursday. I said, okay. He was all excited because he didn't have to go knock on a door of somebody he didn't know. And that night, I had supper and the phone rang. Well, that morning, Sherry put on our refrigerator door. She said, Daniel, I think these people have a burden for your soul. It was on my refrigerator door that day, the day I got saved. And so that night I was eating supper. I'd been mowing the grass, and she said, supper time, I came in. And so all of a sudden Wayne called. He said, hey, man, I'm not going to be able to make it tonight. I said, all right, man, no problem, no worry. I said, all right, man, I'm going out to mow the grass. Man, I bebopped out to the front step, started down there. And I seen this red pickup truck coming. Boy, it's Pastor Woodard's truck. It's rolling in. Here he comes. Had three of them piled in there. And they didn't have King cabs or whatever. It was just one truck. He kind of miraculously made it. He was driving a Ford. I thought, maybe. Anyway, he come rolling up in there, and we went inside, man, and we talked a little while. And I mean, tell you what, he led me to the Lord that night. Danielle was just a baby down there playing with that spring-loaded door stopper. Pastor Woodard in an old swivel rocker. Man, I had to get saved, man. I was going nuts. But I got saved, man. We went out the front steps. I'm going to tell you what, I was jacked up. We went out the door. He was going out to the truck, and I ran out on the thing. I said, hey, man, when can I get baptized? I mean, he didn't have to beg me to get baptized. He didn't say, well, look, when will you say it? Well, I don't know, man. I don't know about that. Man, I said, I'm asking him, when can I get baptized? He said, I'll tell you what, we'll set it up in September. I got saved 1987 on August the 20th, 1987. And I mean, he said, listen, man, you want to get baptized? I said, yes, sir. And I said, man, I want to join in the choir. Two. And he said, yes, sir. He said, we'll put you right in the choir. Can't sing, but it didn't make no difference, right? Huh? And we go down there, and I said, I want to get in the choir, man. I wanted to serve God. I wanted to do something for God. I was excited, man. I went and got me a new haircut, man. I got a haircut and a white shirt, buddy. And I got my Bible, man. And you know what? Man, I started going to church. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We didn't have church on Wednesday night till 7:30, moms and dads. What about the kids? They came out all right. Huh? They came out all right. We get out of church and they'd have a food bank. He'd go down to the food bank and get a bunch of stuff and we could get it for nothing. And we'd go in there. And so it was going on 9 o'clock and we went home from church on Wednesday night. Yeah, my kids come out all right. They did all right. They sleep a lot today, but I mean. It was okay, man. I mean, I remember that when I got saved, man. I mean, it was an exciting time and all that. And you know what? And then you start looking back now over the victories, man, and the things you had to learn and the struggles, man. Did I always want to go to church? No, I didn't. I remember riding home on Wednesday night, man, from work. I'd been work all the way over in Maryland somewhere. We lived, it was 48 miles, I think, one way to my shop from where we lived. I commuted, and then I'd get in a service truck and sometime go around the Beltway and be over in Maryland on the other side of Washington, D.C., in the ghetto, hypodermic needles laying everywhere, gunshots all over the place, man, leave that and come back out to the deer and the antelope playing at home, and it was culture shock. I'd be riding home thinking, you know, I feel like I'm a little bit warm. It's Wednesday night, right? I think I'm getting a slight headache. Maybe I shouldn't go. Oh, no, man, got to wear me out, man. Nah, man, uh-uh. Nah. I mean, if you're really sick, but I wasn't really sick. I was just looking for an excuse. Huh? Hard to believe, isn't it? Hey, I look for them now. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Do I want to come to church every time as a preacher? Uh-uh. Nah. Sometimes I'm tired. Sometimes I don't feel good, but I don't have anybody else that can do what needs to be done. Sometimes I have to come feeling that way. Huh? Sometimes, man, yeah. Hey, I get flat. I get spiritually dead, man. It's a battle, man. It's a fight. Amen. Huh? But you know what? We look back. Guess what? I look back and God got me over all them hills, as that old singer said. I look back and what do I see? Hills and hills and hills. And God got me over every single one of them. And when I look that way, guess what I see? Hills and hills and hills. And God's going to get me over all those hills right there too. Huh? Man, I tell you what, man, salvation's been a good thing. It's been a great thing. It's been the best thing. I'm glad I got saved. I'm glad that somebody saw fit to come out and share the gospel with me, man. And so, you know what? I think remembrance, man, that's something all of us, if you don't have a remembrance of your salvation, maybe you don't have salvation. When did you get saved? What happened? What did God do in your heart? He put himself in me. wasn't perfect like I am now, but I, but he started working on me. He started dealing with me on all the things in my life. I had a lot of cleaning out to do. I'll talk about to you about that next week. I'm going to talk about that when Jesus went into the temple. He cleaned that thing out. He cleaned a lot of things out, just throwing stuff out. Get that dumpster. Get that dumpster set outside your life, and things was going in there. God had to do all that. Yeah, but I look back, man, I'm glad of it. The second thing is we see revelation. Revelation. This is we had revelation. And it talks about the text where Lazarus becomes sick. And his sister sent for him. And it said that, verse 3. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Well, you know, it goes on there and says that Jesus stayed a couple of more days, and then they had a day trip or two. And I didn't read that far. But when you get over in verse 37 and all that, they were talking about whether Jesus could have healed him and blah, 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 blah. And Jesus said in verse 39, he said, take away the stone. And Martha, his sister of him, was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Well, if you add that backwards, the 4 days, guess what? The day the messenger arrived to Jesus to tell him about Lazarus being sick, the day he died that very day. And you think, well, how come? Because they were wondering, why didn't Jesus just come? I'll tell you one, there's two lessons here, and somebody maybe comment about it. One is, he didn't do nothing until the Father told him to. There's a lesson for you right there. Don't make a move. Timing's everything. Timing's everything. And he, of course, he died that very day. So 2 more days isn't going to make no difference to Jesus. Could he have spoken the word from there? Yeah, he could have, but God might not have got the glory if Jesus hadn't come back himself. There's something we see. And so probably, the one lesson we see, I think, there, that God's timetable, the reason's given in verse 4, as a matter of fact, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. So it was for God's glory. That's why he waited. That's why I waited. You'll see, listen, Jesus had raised other people from the dead, but he never raised anybody from the dead who had been dead 4 days. So you know what the skeptic's going to say. If you flopped over dead here and somebody went down there and raised you back to life, say, oh, he really wasn't dead. But boy, they put you in the tomb 4 days when decomposition would take place, especially in that climate. And somebody raised from the dead, they couldn't deny it. They couldn't deny it. That it was a miracle that took place. So God has a timetable. Now there's 2 other lessons that I put down that we need to learn. I think that we need to learn here. That number one, and this is probably the best one, it's the greatest thing that we'll ever learn, that Jesus Christ has victory over death and the grave.
Amen.
I'm telling you what, that's good news for me. That Jesus has victory over the grave. It wasn't the last miracle that he did, but it was his greatest miracle. And like I said, because he had raised some from the dead before, but not after 4 days. And actually, this miracle right here, we already know he had healed a blind man, and them stupid Pharisees wanted to kill him. You know, it's like, say, with some people, you know what? If you find a cure for cancer, somebody would have a fault with it, right? Somebody would find fault with it. It doesn't matter what it was. Here he healed somebody. They wanted to kill him. And now when he raised Lazarus from the dead, and they couldn't deny it, and they all got together, the council got together, and they said, man, this is a notable miracle, and we can't deny that it happened. They wanted to kill him. So it aroused the most response from both his friends and his enemies. That this guy was raised from the dead. I'm tell you what, this, you know, dying, that's the biggest crisis in life. That's our biggest crisis. When I was a little boy one time, I got to thinking about dying. I wasn't but like 4 or 5 years old, I remember. And man, I was like old Hezekiah, man. I rolled up on my bed. We had a plaster wall house. I rolled up on my bed, had my face over there against the wall, and I was laying there on my bed, and I'm crying like mad. My mom come in there, she said, I was only 4 or 5 years old. She said, what's wrong? I said, I don't want to die. She said, my mom said, what are you thinking about that for? I said, I don't know. I mean, I don't know why. I mean, nobody had died, you know, that I'd never seen. I hadn't seen anything. I just started thinking about it. I said, man, I don't want to die. I mean, here I was 4 or 5 years old, and death's hanging over my head like a cloud, which is true. It is. I mean, I'm crying. I don't want to die. She goes, well, I don't know why you're thinking about that. My mom, she couldn't. I said, I don't know why I'm thinking about it either, but I didn't want to die. Huh? Well, You know, right now as a saved man, I know die is gain. And I know I'm going to live eternally. That's a blessing to my heart. Now, you know the old saying, everybody wants to go to heaven, nobody wants to die, which is true. We kind of like to hang around here as long as we want to. But when we finally get to heaven, we thought, well, how dumb is that? We'll probably get in heaven and think, what was I thinking? but you know what? We're down here on the earth, and here we are, right? Huh? But I tell you what, we got eternal life. When you start getting older, like a few of us, when you start getting older, you know, you got less behind in front than you have behind. It's good to know that it doesn't make any difference. Huh? We're going to live eternally. We're going to have eternal life. Body may croak, but we'll get a new one. Huh? But my soul and spirit's going to live forever, man. So we can face death. Listen, man, this is the last enemy that we have, the greatest crisis that we'll ever face is our own death. It's our own death. But Jesus took it away. Warren Wiersbe said this. He said, if Jesus can do nothing about death, then whatever else he can do amounts to nothing. If Jesus can do nothing about death, no matter what else he does, amounts to nothing. Which is true. Because if you're just going to die at the end, what difference does it make? How many toys you gather up here, what difference does it make how many toys you get? You're going to die. Huh? But he can do something about death. Right? You can have eternal life. You're not going to have eternal life when we get to heaven. We got it now. I got it right now. See, I got a soul and a spirit. If I fall over dead right here, and I'm hoping I don't, but if I fall over dead right here, instantly my soul will be present with the Lord. Amen. I'll just keep on going. I'll be in the middle of the message. I'll just keep on preaching it. I have a new audience. I say, man, these people look different. I'm going to have a new audience, man. I'm going to be preaching the Word of God, right? And so, man, I mean, we're going to live forever. So, We see, I think Jesus, now listen, it's 2 weeks before his own resurrection. He raised Lazarus from the dead. If there was any doubt, see, in the believers or in the non-believers that needed to get saved, if there's any doubt in their mind, we'll say, well, just 2 weeks ago, raised a guy, been dead 4 days. Jesus is going to lay in the ground 3. Huh? He's going to come out. So I don't, and you know that a lot of them didn't get it. We're so hard-headed, we can't learn anything. Even then, they didn't get it. That's why the Emmaus Road disciples was walking back to Emmaus because they was all bummed out because they didn't know what, huh? If you knew for sure Jesus was going to raise up, I'd just been sitting down there at the grave on the third day. Huh? Get down there early, like getting up going hunting, Larry. Just get up and get down there and wait. See if you hear a gobbler. Huh? Didn't hear a gobbler, but they heard Jesus come out, right? They heard that, huh? That's it, man. I mean, that's what I'd have done. The second lesson, this is a good one, is the lesson is to move from a doctrine to a person. Moving from a doctrine to the person. Let me put it, I scribbled out A and put the in my note. See in verse 25, well, you can back up a little bit. Verse 21, chapter 11, 21, I didn't read it, but I'll read it to you now. It said, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Now here's Martha, here's her doctrine. She's got it straight. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? See, here's the thing. Martha knew something of the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead. We know it today. The church doctrine is rapture. Y'all been around here long enough, we know about that. We know the Lord's going to come back. Man, he's going to call us out and we're going to rapture us up. And we call that, we're going to go up and meet him with the air. All the saved people will go up and meet him in the air. Now, Martha knew about this, not in the church sense, but she knew from Old Testament scriptures about a resurrection from the dead. So this is a doctrine. Doctrine, the word doctrine is just a big word for teaching. She knew that teaching. But Jesus wanted her and you to move from a doctrine of the resurrection to the person of the resurrection. See what I'm saying? You know, this personal relationship. See, we can know all about what the Bible says. We can all know all the doctrine, but where is it affecting you personally? You know, that's the key thing. And Jesus wanted her to do that, and we need to know the person really more than the teaching. I was sharing with Paul this morning. We were talking. I saw a little video clip. Adrian Rogers, love to hear the guy preaching, alliterate like nobody's business. Adrian Rogers was saying this. He said, the people that are in the most danger today, the people that are in the most danger are people that are sitting in churches all over, in his church and any church, all over the place. And the reason is this, is because they know the doctrine, but not all of them know the person. And see, and so what happens, here's the thing about it. If this book, you know, you guys sitting here every week, we preach from the Bible, we preach it. If you come to Sunday school, that's good. If you come on Sunday night, that's good. Wednesday night Bible study, that's good. We got the Bible. You can learn the Bible top to bottom. And I'm going to tell you what, if it has no impact on your life, what good is it? And what happens is people sit in churches all the time and they learn everything. And man, I know this. I know what the Bible says about the resurrection, but I want to know, do you know the resurrection? Do you know Jesus? Do you know him? He said he is the resurrection. He ain't preaching about the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection. Huh? And when you got him in your life, you can't die. I mean, if he's living in me and it's his life living in me, how am I going to die? He can't die. Huh? He can't die. Man, that's the deal right there. But if this book right here doesn't impact your life, let me tell you what your problem is. You don't know the person. You're not saved. You've never put your faith totally in Jesus Christ. You just sit there and listen to what is said about him. Satan knows all about Jesus. He knows more than we do. He can probably correct us when we misquote a scripture. But he isn't saved, man, because he doesn't put his faith in Jesus Christ. Because how do you know? Because it doesn't affect his everyday living. Does this word affect every day of your life? Every decision you make, what you do, what you don't do, what you look at, what you don't look at, what you say, what you don't say, where you go, all those things. This book right here has got to affect your life. That's what happens when salvation's real. I know there's a process a lot of times, a sanctification process. Doesn't have to be. I've seen people, man, change, boy, just like that, and God got in them. It's a real thing. And so we've got to move from knowing about that, and that's what he's trying to tell her. Yeah, you know about the resurrection. I'm telling you, I am the resurrection. I'm not preaching about it. Jesus said, I'm not preaching about the resurrection. I'm not telling you about it. He said, what happens is, every doctrine in the Bible is personified in Christ. I mean, he makes every doctrine in the Bible personal. In Christ, everything is made personal. And so we have to understand that reality as well. And Jesus, I think he wanted them to know that before he went to the cross. Now, I'm a little bit late, but hang on. I got the knockout punch right here. The third thing is exclamation. Exclamation. In verse 41, it says, then they took away the stone and the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said that they may believe, said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound up with napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Man, there's a lot of speculation as to when Lazarus was raised from the dead. I'm trying to get the timeline between 2 weeks, right? The Orthodox Church they said it was the Saturday before Palm Sunday that Lazarus was raised. They called it Lazarus Saturday, I think. But it couldn't be. When you look at the timeline I gave you where he went back and forth, 6 days before the Passover, Lazarus was already raised. And before that, Jesus was in Ephraim. He wasn't in Bethany where Lazarus was. And now it's 6 days before Passover, which is pretty close to the Saturday before Palm Sunday, right along in there somewhere. So it's just too big of a timeline. It wasn't then. I believe, this is what I believe. I believe it was farther back. It was, probably, I'm just thinking about this. I wondered about this. I think it might have been the Sunday, 2 Sundays before his own resurrection, that Lazarus came forth out of the grave. I looked at the timeline. It's really close if it's not it. And I can't say without a shadow of a doubt. I'll just believe it. I believe it was Sunday. That would make sense. Now, you can't go out and tell anybody, well, it definitely happened on Sunday. We don't know that. And they can't say it definitely didn't. But you look at that timeline and it'll fit right in there. 2 weeks prior. I could be wrong, but I think it's close. And Jesus prays in verse 43. And I want you to notice this. It says, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now, that's significant right there. And I think this, Jesus said, several people have said this. Jesus is standing at a graveyard. If he'd have just said, come forth, everybody in the graveyard would have come out. But he called out somebody that he knew personally. He said, Lazarus knew him, salvation. And he knew Lazarus, salvation. He said, Lazarus, you come out of there. And Lazarus come out. And he had them old grave clothes on. And he said, take them off. You ain't going to need them anymore. And we don't need them either. I don't need them now. Right? We don't need them. Lazarus went on to live just a little bit. But he called his name. Now, we know this kind of pictures the rapture of the church. At the rapture of the church. He's calling up the saints, right? Come out of the grave. Come forth. Now, you know, there's another speculative point. He said he cried with a loud voice. Now, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, tells us what will happen at the rapture. It said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. It said he come out with a shout. Now, I don't think that Jesus is going to come up in the sky and go, hey! I just don't think he's going to say, hey. You know, do that. Now, a lot of people speculated. Remember, years ago, some of you, Stan and Shelby, y'all remember years ago when we were here? In the 50s, there was one of the wrestlers, like the wrestling we see on TV, but this was back in the old days when it was black and white. There was a wrestler named George Gardner. They called him Gorgeous George. There was three of them, but he was the first one. He wore a pink tutu. I'm telling you, leotards and a pink tutu. This was his stick, you know. Everybody, we remember him because of that. And he called him Gorgeous George, and he was a wrestler. Well, he got saved, and he went into evangelism. And years ago, we had him over here at Valley View. You know, we had him over there when the church was over there. He didn't have a pink tutu on, by the way, no leotard. I don't know about the leotards, but he didn't have a tutu on. But anyway, Gorgeous George, he preached some message, and it was really good. And he said, you know what I think? He said, and listen to this. Here's some teaching. Right before, and this is in the 2 weeks prior, right before chapter 11, back over there in chapter 10, Jesus taught on the good shepherd, and he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That he talked about that. He said, they know my voice. And Gorgeous George said, over in Israel, in that part of the country, he said, all the shepherds would get together at certain times of the year and all the sheep would mingle up. But when one shepherd was ready to go, when he was getting ready to go, he would take his staff and he'd start walking. He'd say, sheep, sheep, sheep. And only the sheep that were his, they recognized his voice. They would pick their heads up. You see little heads all in the crowd coming up and they would all come out of there and the other sheep would stay. He said he thought the Lord was going to come back and say, sheep. I don't think so. This is what I think. Now I'm speculating. The Bible tells us on the day of Pentecost that the men were speaking with other tongues. But it says in that day that every man heard what they said in his own language. That's what it tells us on the day of Pentecost. That's what it says. Didn't have an interpreter. You didn't need it. You heard it in your language. We could all be different countries. One person speaking, or different ones speaking, but everybody heard it in their own language. That's just said. You know what I think? I think when the Lord comes back in heaven, I think we're going to hear our name. Amen. I think when he calls out, when he shouts that out, that every man is going to hear his name. Every man, woman, mankind. Every person. I'm going to hear whatever he's going to call me, Daniel or Danny. My mom called me Danny, but I'm going to hear my name. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Huh? He called out to Moses at the burning bush. There he said, y'all heard me. He called out to Moses, but Moses wasn't dead. But he called Moses by name. He knew Moses' name. Now, I can't prove this. I can't prove it. You can't disprove it. But I'm just saying, he's got to shout. He calls out with a shout. I don't think it's going to be, hey, y'all come up. I think you're going to hear your name. Think about that. You know, I thought about this, and Jesus had just taught, my sheep know my voice or hear my voice. He said he's going to defend sin with heaven with a shout. My mom died in 2013. My mom died in 2003. My dad died in 2013. I still can this day, I can hear their voice in my head call my name. I hear my mom call my name, and she called me Danny. And if I lived to be 100 and my parents called my voice, I would know it. I would know it. Wouldn't be no guessing about that. I think when the Lord comes back, he's going to call my name. He's going to call our name, and that's what we'll hear. And I believe it's going to be a personal call. It's a personal relationship. I think it's going to be a personal call. Like I say, can't be dogmatic about that. But it's going to be a loud voice. It's going to be a shout. He called Lazarus. He just didn't shout, hey, come out of the grave. He said, Lazarus, you come out of the grave. Not everybody that died. You know, everybody, we got this theory that every time somebody dies now, well, they're going to a better place. They're going to a better. Everybody ain't going to a better place. Huh? Everybody's not going to be, everybody's not saved, and not everybody's coming out of the grave either.
That's right.
But I think one day I'll hear my voice. Huh? You'll hear your voice, and we'll go up. We'll meet him in the air. That's just my thought on that right there. Listen, Jesus calls us personally. Listen, when Jesus calls you, he speaks to your heart, not to mine.
That's right.
He called me, he spoke to my heart. He speaks to you. Can you hear it? Can you hear that call? Way off there. Can you hear that call? He speaks to your heart. He speaks to us personally. He is the resurrection and the life. He gives us himself. He doesn't give us eternal life in the sense apart from himself. He gives us himself, who is eternal. He is eternal. That's how you get eternal life. And so as we approach Easter, I thought, well, good time to reflect. Back when you got saved, if you got saved. Along with what Jesus has done in your life up today, till today. And realize what all he has to offer, eternal life, victory over the grave, death in that. Boy, what a day. What a time to be saved. If you're not saved today, Paul, you come up. And if you're not saved today, I pray, it's my prayer that you say, hey, I hear Jesus calling my name. You know, we don't get saved on our timetable. We get saved when Jesus is dealing with it.
Amen.
And if Jesus is calling you, buddy, I'll tell you what, how many of you, when your mom or dad hollered out the window about supper time, said, I ain't going, back in the day, and I don't know what they do nowadays, I ain't going. How many of you said you wouldn't? How'd that turn out for you? I know what, I had a knot on my head. Didn't you hear me calling? You either had to lie and say, when they knew good and well they did, right? Jesus is calling. Jesus is speaking to you. Man, today's the day you need to be saved. Why? Because he's calling you to be saved today. Amen.